We're on to the fifth chakra, and the fifth chakra is called the Vishuddha chakra. And Vishuddha means pure wisdom. That's the meaning of this. So this is a chakra that has something to do with wisdom and understanding, something we could all use quite a little bit of, I think. So this is the symbol for this chakra. And, as you know, this is a chakra that's opposite the throat and the spine. And when the consciousness is centered in this chakra, there's this calm and expansive feeling that I think many of you experienced as we went through the exercise with Amara and we focused on this chakra. You could feel an opening up in the chakra. There's an expression that says center everywhere, circumference nowhere. And that would describe a person who is really centered in this chakra. The person becomes calm, cool, collected, communicative. These are positive qualities for this chakra. And this chakra is thought to be the gateway to the spiritual aspect of man. So it's a bridge really between the brain and the rest of the body, and it's the home of the causal body. And we talked about the causal body before, I think in the first class. Some of you were not here, and we said that we have three bodies, which are really superimposed over each other. There's the physical body, and the astral body, and the causal body. So this is thought to be the home of the causal body. And in this chakra, we've moved upwards. We moved, in this case, from the air element to the ether element. And elements really are lower or higher in the spine, depending on what you might call the grossness of their material manifestation. So they become more and more subtle, really. So the ether, of the five elements, the ether really is of the highest vibration. Ether. And ether is a kind of invisible cosmic energy. You might think of it as the energy out of which the physical universe appears. So if you think about it in physics, we think about ether as being the medium that fills unoccupied space and transmits that electromagnetic vibration that we have talked about a little bit. So ether is close to pure spirit, but it's not pure spirit. In some ways, pure spirit might be more dynamic than ether, and the energy of ether might be more of a potential. And so there's a potential for worldly involvement. We're not totally into the world of spirit, but we're somewhere in between. So the potential of in this potential of involvement, there is direction. And energy can be directed upwards to the higher chakras or downwards. That's true in all of the chakras. So the upward energy from the heart, which is what we talked about last week, is especially important to this chakra because there's a feeling, that feeling that you get in the heart of that we talked about, of selfless, divine love from the heart chakra, can really soften the quality of wisdom that we find in this chakra. And so it supports a sense of the oneness of everything, the energy from the from the heart chakra moving up to the throat chakra. And when this chakra is imbalanced, you might find the qualities of boredom or apathy. A person might become bored or apathetic. So instead of that deeply calm and expansive space, that deeply calm silence that we experience a little bit of, the person can actually become restless and desire more activity and want some exciting worldly involvement. So that person you might then describe as mercurial, erratic, volatile, or unstable. That would be another aspect of the imbalance. And this the planet for this chakra, of course, is Mercury. That is the planet for this chakra. This is Mercury. Mercury is the smallest planet and the fastest planet. And so when we describe someone as mercurial, we're referring both to the element Mercury and Mercury, who is the messenger of the gods. So he has these swift flights that he does from place to place. And if you look at this picture of Mercury and look at what he's holding in his hands, you can see, well, you can see that he wears wings on his shoes, and he's carrying that caduceus, which is the symbol for the medical profession. And we saw that in the first slide, and we said that the snakes going, this represents the spine, and the two columns of energy going up and down the spine, the Irda and the Pingala, and the ascent of the Kundalini up through the Sushumna in the astral spine. So we saw this in the first class again, which some of you missed, but it's interesting to see that in Mercury's hands when we're thinking about this chakra. Did you not see that a minute ago when I was seeing it? Well, now you're seeing it. Okay. So this is Spock. And in balance in this chakra can manifest as this kind of intellectual detachment. And Spock is a really good example of that, this kind of cold rationality. That would be an imbalance. We sometimes see that kind of imbalance in supposedly spiritual people, right, who feel like they have to be a little bit detached. And I think often those people are people who are a little afraid of their emotions and they haven't brought things up through the heart chakra. So a contrast to that would be someone like Swami. So you don't really see that kind of detachment in truly spiritually balanced people in the masters. And the masters are really complete in their involvement in the reality of life. And one of the examples that I've often heard Asha talk about is that when Sister Gyanamata died, Master Yogananda wept at her funeral. So it's not a non-involvement in life. It's an active involvement in life rather than a detachment. This is quite a convoluted little slide. So the throat chakra is also called the cervical center. And it's located in front of the cervical spine. You can see that. And together with the heart chakra, it governs a number of different nerve plexuses, the brachial plexus and the pharyngeal nerve plexus and the cervical nerve plexus. And these nerve centers really support the heart, and they support the coronary arteries and the bronchial tubes and the lungs and the diaphragm and the neck muscles and the shoulders all the way down to the fingertip tips. So, I mean, we're really working with quite a little bit with the combination of these two chakras. You can see this is you can just sort of see the location in front of the trachea. There's the larynx, the pharynx, the epiglottis. This is the area that we're talking about. And here's the thyroid gland. And the thyroid gland is the gland that's governed by this chakra. And we're going to talk a little bit later, we're going to talk a little bit more about the thyroid gland because it has everything to do with the expression and communication with this chakra. So this is lapis lazuli. And this stone is said to open and clear the channels of communication in this chakra, in the fifth chakra. So it amplifies the ability to hear information both from physical and non-physical sources. And I wanted to just mention something about gems here, because last week someone asked the question of whether you could take, we talked about gem essences, and somebody said, well, do they have do the gems have pharmacologic properties as well? And I thought not, but Lily corrected me and said that in Ayurveda, they crush gems and use them in remedies. And so we happen to have an Ayurvedic physician who works in my office. And I said, Vivek, you know, tell me about how these stones are used pharmacologically as well. And he said, well, we crush them very, very tiny particles and use just sort of an infinitesimal amount, a minute amount of the gem, and it's used to make the remedy more potent, to make the botanical remedy or whatever it is more potent. And it's interesting because in the world of vibrational medicine, when we use gem essences, when we're using the essence of a gem, we'll use it together with flower essences to potentize the energy of the flower essences. So really, it's used quite similarly in those two ways. But it is used pharmacologically, and I didn't know that. It's always good to learn new things. Yeah. So this chakra is very much about how we express ourselves. And expression happens with our voice, but our expression happens also with our thoughts. So in whatever way we express who it is that we are, how we present ourselves to the world, and how others see us in the world has a lot to do with the throat chakra. This is larch. And of the flower essences, larch really is the quintessential remedy for the throat chakra. We give it for self-confidence and creative expression. Anyone who's having any problem with that is likely to have some of the larch essence in their flower essence. Another one of mine that's a favorite of mine for this chakra is actually called trumpet vine. And this essence counteracts a lack of vitality or a lack of soul force in expression in the throat chakra. And it's also used for speech impediments. Yeah. So stuttering. I like to use the blue one, if I can get the essence of the blue one, just because the blue is also the color for the chakra. So the more vibrational input that you can get, the better. Whether it's even the words that name this flower, right? Trumpet vine, that has an essence in and of itself. The color of the flower has an essence. You know, in some cultures, they select the essences they use by the color. They'll just forget about the names and forget about what the flower is. You know, they'll throw out cards with pictures of the flowers and sort of group together blue flowers and give it as a blue remedy for people. And I like that. This is azurite. And this is a stone or gem that's used to strengthen the connection between the earth chakra and the fifth chakra. So all the chakras are connected with all of the other chakras and contribute to them, and this is a strengthening in that way. So I wanted to say a little something more about sound, because we haven't paid very much direct attention to sound. We did a little bit about sound with Amara today, and we said that a while back, we said that sound is one of the eight aspects through which we might experience God. So sound vibration, I feel a little... little uneducated talking to you about it because we have an expert over here. Kien is this is his field back here. Kien, his field is sound vibration. So correct me if you'd like at any point. These are some of the Japanese researcher Emoto's picture, and we talked about how Emoto sensei demonstrate that words and sounds can transform us by restructuring the water molecules that constitute our physical bodies. And so these are just some of the different water molecules that he's photographed. And of course, you can imagine that the top ones are not nice words and dirty water. And the bottom ones are words of love and gratitude that are transforming these water crystals into these intricate and beautiful crystals. In San Francisco, there's an institute called the Sound and Consciousness Institute. I think that this is their logo, or it was their logo if it's not still. And I mention them because they offer sound treatments for healing and for sustaining health and for raising consciousness, connecting to spirit through sound. And they have many classes and many sound healers that work through this institute, and they also design CDs which address conditions like insomnia and recovery from surgery. There's one CD that they have that's very interesting, that is a CD of xylophone music, which has been, I think it's just a very short, like 14 seconds or something, but it's used to help cause cancer cells to self-destruct. So when we think about the treatment of cancer as we're doing it now, we realize that in 10 years or 20 years, we're going to look backwards and say, what were they doing? You know, we'll be able to tune into a sound vibration and just, you know, cause the cells to self-destruct by using that vibration. And that's very much an area of study in medicine now, is what exactly can we do with sound. It's called the Sound and Consciousness Institute. They don't have a name for the CD, anti-cancer. Do they sell that through their website? Soundhealingcenter.com. And so I imagine that their address is, it's on 9th Street. So if you went to the website, I'm sure you could see exactly where their location is in San Francisco, and you could learn about that seminar. It's very much, it really takes the study of sound and healing and vibration to an advanced level. And you know, you can experience things there. They have something called a sound table, which I think you have a sound table that you use. And they can program sound vibrations through your body and make a lot of changes as they do that. They have many chakra treatments and all kinds of other things based on science, vibration, the chakras, and healing. It's a really fascinating place. If you can't make it this Sunday, they do those free demos pretty often, I think. Yes, you do. You get to try the sound table, too. So that institute, one of the things they can do is they can diagnose you through the sound of your voice. So hearing the sound of your voice, what frequencies are missing, it can help tell you of different imbalances that exist in your body. And they can also, use their own, people there can use their voices to diagnose and treat imbalances in your body as well. And I think I went to a demonstration there several years ago, and they illustrated all of those things in the demonstration. It was really, it's really fascinating. So this is a voice print. This is the vibratory frequency of someone's voice, the vibratory frequency of the words that were carried by the voice, and certainly you can identify someone by their unique voice frequency. So, you know, we keep saying that Emoto Sensei has done this tremendous service for us by photographing the power of thought and words in whatever form, whether they're symbolic or whether they're written or whether they're thought or whether they're spoken, to affect us negatively or positively. So when you see these stones, for example, that have words like love and hope and faith, you might think that they're just little trinkets, but they're really not. They're carrying a vibration, and they're helping to program your vibration by bringing your attention to those vibrations. Because when you look at love, and you obviously then think love, it starts to change you. That's why the words that we use make so much difference. So sound affects the nervous system, and inharmonious sound weakens the medium through which vital energy flows to the heart and to the brain and to all of the organs. And sounds that are harmonious, like chants, which are impregnated with superconscious soul force, they stimulate vital energy in the nervous system. So when we chant, we aren't just doing nothing. We're actually programming ourselves and lifting our consciousness through the science of vibration. Likewise with affirmations, all of the affirmations, all of the chanting, all of the music that we do here at Ananda or any place else really have a purpose. The purpose is to rouse the vital energy, to resonate in our consciousness, to tune us to a particular aspect of reality, higher vibrational realities, really, and to fundamentally change us. And I wanted to emphasize that the power of thoughts and the power of spoken words and the efficacy of sound healing and affirmation, all these other things that we're talking about, is pure science. So we're really talking about where we're moving to in science in this age of energy. And I wanted to read something that Yogananda wrote about this. He said, "Thinking upon God keeps the cosmos in balance and in rhythm. Hence, the right thoughts uttered in rightly uttered words will set up rhythmic, etheric vibrations and initiate proper actions in both the individual who uses the affirmations and in all circumstances connected with the successful attainment of the desired result." Big words. When you utter God again and again, forgetting time and with ever-increasing devotion, and when your consciousness forgets itself in affirming, at that point, you will feel the presence of God. That's a big promise. So words are vibrations of thought. Thoughts are vibrations of power and energy. So this is, I thought I'd mention Louise Hay because that's someone that many, many people know about her affirmations. Here at Ananda, we have a wonderful book of affirmations. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure they have it for sale in the boutique. So it's scientific healing affirmations. And, you know, we can design our own affirmations. There are certain rules to designing affirmations, and affirmations work. But the power of affirmations and prayers are really enhanced when we use affirmations and prayers that have been offered by enlightened masters. And we say these affirmations and prayers are soul impregnated. That's the way that we describe them. And when you use these affirmations, you might think of that they're planted as vibratory seeds in your consciousness. So when you say the affirmation, you plant a seed, that it sets up a vibratory frequency, and your consciousness begins to resonate with that vibratory frequency. This is the way that affirmations work. So you water the vibratory seed, and you water it with your attention, with your consistent attention, and the vibratory frequency is strengthened, and you are changed as a result. It starts to do you. And it is a science, and science implies predictable results. So when people say, "I've tried affirmations and they don't work," I pretty much think they haven't tried them correctly. Because, like I said, there are rules. And one of the chapters of Scientific Healing Affirmations, it tells you exactly how to do affirmations. I don't think people look at that very much, but he talks about in which direction should you face to do the affirmation most efficaciously, and how should you sit, and how should you repeat it. And, you know, we have a way of repeating these affirmations where we repeat them loudly, and then we to wake up your physical ears, and then we repeat them less loudly, and then we repeat them in a whisper, and then we repeat them internally. And that all has to do with vibratory frequency and what aspect of your being you're helping to resonate with those words. So very, very powerful technique available to anyone. This is called Songs of My Heart. So beyond the combination of voice and words or thought that are found in affirmations, there is the combination of voice, word, thought, and sound as music. And so that's what we have in singing and in chanting. That's what we were doing with the chant that we did with Amara. So Swami Kriyananda has provided us with a huge body of music, which is a particular expression of helpful vibrations. So you can actually search, and it might be in the chakra book, I'm not sure, or there's a song book in which it may be, for prescriptions of a song for specific delusions or limitations that you might discover that you have. either might be chakra connected or not chakra connected. So you could find a chant or an affirmation that you could use, for example, as an antidote for fear. Or you could use, there's a chant in the temple, called In the Temple of Silence, which you might use to transform restlessness or worry or anger. And you know, Lahar, you might know where, I don't know, I know I've seen a list somewhere where these are all matched up for people. So this is this is called cosmic chants, and Yogananda spiritualized each of the chants by chanting them until he received a divine response. And he said that he instilled a particular power into each chant to inspire and strengthen right attitude and to transform bad moods, which we can all use sometimes. So different ones of the chants, of course, energize different parts of the body. And it might be the frontispiece on this that says, one who sings these spiritual songs with true devotion will find God communion and ecstatic joy, and through them, the healing of body, mind, and soul. So if you're tuned to sound, here's an avenue and some tools that you can use. Chanting through the chakras, roots of awakening. So this is what we were doing before, in the first hour of class today, is chanting through the chakras. Okay, so here are the seven major chakras, and here's some notes that are associated with those chakras. I find it is not entirely consistent which notes are listed as being connected to with which chakras. It's like the slide of the elephant and the three blind men that we used earlier. You know, there are different ways of approaching even the chakras through sound. And, you know, the internal sound of this chakra is the sound of the wind blowing through the trees. You can see it's one of those slides that I lost in my computer crash. It did have the wind blowing through those trees. And it will again, but not tonight. Okay. So the color of the chakra is, of course, blue. That's why we're wearing blue today. And blue is a color, really, that can calm strong emotions, calm the heart, bring tranquility. And in color healing, blue can be used for any type of ailment associated with speech or communication. This is a slide about speech or communication, specifically with the throat, the larynx or the throat. This is blue chamomile, and obviously it's another beautiful blue flower, but I put it on there because, you know, there's a classic about healing with light and color by somebody by the name of Edwin Babbitt. It's called The Principles of Light and Color, and he says that the blue ray, so the blue vibration, is one of the greatest antiseptics in the world. One of the greatest antiseptics in the world. And this blue, the oil of blue chamomile is a great antiseptic. It's antiviral, it's antibacterial, it's calming. So here's a flower, the pharmacologic properties of which are antiseptic, and the essential oil quality of which is calming, or the flower itself, and the color of the cell. So blue is used to soothe fevers, to lower high blood pressure, to stop bleeding, to relieve headaches, to cool inflammation. Good color to use for all of those kinds of things. So I have a few blue slides here just for enjoyment. And when we look at Patanjali again, we move from yama to niyama to asana to pranayama. Now we're at pratyahara, which means withdrawal of the senses. So withdrawal of the senses is associated with this chakra. You can promote the feeling of this chakra through stargazing, really through contemplating the space or infinity and calmly expanding your mind. One of the ways to promote this feeling. Or looking at the sky, and this is the perfect slide really for the chant that we did, I'm the sky mother, I am the sky. So one of the affirmations that you might do for this chakra, free at last, my spirit soars into infinite skies of bliss. Lily has asked for me to give you these affirmations that I've listed on many of the chakras, and I will do that. I would have done it for tonight, but I just got this computer back about an hour before, and that's where they all are, so I'll compile them and make a handout for you so you don't have to write them all down, and I'll write down the ones that we used for the other chakras as well, so that you'll all have that as a resource. But I think also in the Savitra's book on the chakras, I do think that she's listed other affirmations that you could look at as well. With some of the questions that have happened outside of class, there's been a lot of interest in conditions, medical conditions related to the chakras, and how you might apply all of these this information towards working with those conditions. And I thought, since low thyroid conditions are so prevalent, that I would just talk a minute about the thyroid, which is the gland associated with this chakra, and how we might think about it if we were using a combination of conventional medicine and vibrational medicine to work with that chakra. So one thing that you can always do is to correct a negative attitude that's associated with any one of the chakras through the practice of positive attitudes. So with this chakra, practicing silence would be balancing for a person with a mercurial mind to have a little with media withdrawal, for example, and just practice silence. That would be a very balancing thing. On the other hand, for someone who cannot speak their truth, the opposite, the change would be to practice courageous self-expression for someone who's really hesitant to speak their truth. And those attitudes are reflected in physical conditions. So a person who is unable to express themselves in a certain situation might find themselves with a sore throat, for example, which is a classic example, or with a hypothyroid condition. So there are these interconnections that you find that are very real, but that they can't be taken too simplistically. I remember walking into a health food store once with a sore throat and having this 18-year-old clerk say to me, what is it that you don't want to say? there was something really not nice I wanted to say at that moment, because, you know, that they were essentially blaming me for my problem. And that's not what it is not like that at all. You're not at fault when you have a problem. And you can't simply from an intellectual space treat that or change that. We sort of are who we are, and there are ways to address whatever delusion that we're suffering from, but just having somebody blame you for what you have is not one of them. I remember just a personal story. I used to lose my voice all the time. I would lose my voice like 10, 14, 20 times a year, all the time. I had this problem with laryngitis, and I lived in Japan for many years, and at one point I lost my voice again. And I visited a healer, and that healer was really able to take me to a space of profound calm, profound peace and inner knowing. And in that space, he helped me discover what it was. It was so deeply troubling to me that I kept losing my voice. My communication was just completely blocked. And I walked out of that healing session, walked into the healing session without my voice. I walked out of the healing session with my voice, and that was almost 30 years, gosh, I got older, almost 30 years ago. And since that time, I may have lost my voice once from having a cold or something like that. I just never lost my voice again because he was able to take me to that space. That's what it takes for transformational healing. He took me into the space of the throat chakra through his healing, and that problem was healed for me. Yeah, it was pretty easy. I think that was one of the first experiences I had of real transformational healing. So that works a lot better than a clerk asking me what I what I don't want to say. So anything we do to balance the throat chakra is also going to be balancing for the thyroid gland and for all of the nerve groups that are associated with this, with the neck, throat, and thyroid gland that we saw in the slide of the, you know, with the nerve plexus and things. So combining basic naturopathy, as Yogananda does in his teachings, with vibrational and vibratory healing techniques, there are many, many synergistic and complementary techniques that you can use, treatments that you could consider. This is a poster of the energization exercises. And you can't really read it very well, I suppose, from there. But I just want to mention them for specific healing, because all of these exercises are used to direct energy through different parts of your body and sequentially through different parts of your body. And I certainly have used them those ways and sometimes prescribe them to my patients as well. We have the energization exercise on the back of the door to my clinic. And I keep thinking more and more people are going to notice them. Sometimes they do. But just in my own case, again, I have a bit of a fifth chakra thing. So I was in Hawaii, and I woke up to this really terrible sore throat. I mean, just awful. Throat of fire, really. And I woke up almost unable to swallow. And so at first I panicked a little because I don't have very much space to not be you know, on in my life. And then I realized that I'd really been unreasonably busy and hadn't done the energization exercises for a few days. So I did them consciously, focusing more on this part of the body than on other parts of the body, and paying particular attention to this whole sequence from that affected the neck and the throat. You know, from the shoulder rolls to neck and throat recharging, through head rolls and spinal rotation and that sort of thing. And the fire in my throat just melted away during the course of 10 minutes, really. I mean, it just went from being there to not being there. I you know, just really can't emphasize enough how powerful these techniques are. You know, you look at them and you think, oh, it's so simple. Not real. I mean, it is. But it's the consciousness with which you do this. These are not calisthenics, in other words. They're energy exercises. They're vibrational exercises. So you could use yoga positions in the same way. I know there's some yoga instructors here. When I think about it, this is the bridge pose. I think about the fish, the plow, the shoulder stand, the bridge pose. And you can see in this pose that you're putting gentle pressure by the chin on the thyroid gland. So there's a physical aspect of this that regulates the body's metabolism, but you're also stimulating the cervical center, and you're also encouraging flow of energy through your body. And I think this is the affirmation that goes with that posture. God's peace now floods my body. There's the shoulder stand, another one that's really, really good for the throat chakra and for the thyroid gland. Wanted to put these pictures on. These are mudras, hand positions. And mudras are mystical positions of the hands. Just like asanas are the body positions, mudras are hand positions. There's also arm positions and eye positions that you see in Indian dance and in the depictions of the Hindu gods and that sort of thing. And specific mudras lead to specific states of consciousness. You know, they're very powerful. If you think of why, one of the reasons why that might be, if you look at your fingers, each of the fingers represents an element and a chakra. So you have the fire chakra here at the thumb, and then the air chakra. They say space. I say air. I say, what does it say? Space? Earth and water. Ether. Yeah, this is ether, earth and water. So you could imagine if you were working with those fingers, you would be working with those elements and working with that energy. This is a mudra that I particularly like. This is called the Shankh Mudra or the Shell Mudra, and it drives away problems of the throat. So it's calming and it improves the voice. You take and you encircle your left thumb with the four fingers of your right hand, and then you touch your right thumb to your extended middle finger of your left hand. So if you look at it from, you look at your own, it looks a little bit like a shell. But this is a very, very calming mudra, and it's used to improve the voice. I keep using it. I don't know if my voice is improved or not, but I'll keep going with it. So the idea is to hold your hands in front of your sternum and three times daily for 15 minutes. And you sing Om, and then you listen within. So it's a practice that you can do. If you have a throat chakra problem, a thyroid problem, voice problem, doing this mudra can help you move through that problem. Here's another affirmation for this chakra. I use thoughts and words of strength and love, and everything I think and speak comes back to me. I'll write it down for you so you don't have to worry about writing it. I'll put it on a sheet for you. And I just wanted to say, we're not going to do any feet exercises here, but there are also correlations with the feet and with the toes. You could also use any of the vibrational remedies that we've talked about. You could wrap a blue scarf around your throat, or wear a blue necklace, or use blue lights, use a flower essence, use a gem essence. In naturopathic medicine, we don't use just flower and gem essences. We use homeopathics. The homeopathic remedies that we use for the throat chakra often are iodum or thyroidinum or some of the other homeopathic remedies. Homeopathically, there's a remedy called iodum. It's a homeopathic of iodine. Thyroidinum is actually a homeopathic of thyroid gland. Those are two that we use, and we use many others, but those two are pretty commonly used for thyroid problems homeopathically. Sound medicine for chakra balancing. Crystal bowls are one thing that are used, and if you go to East West Bookstore, you can find crystal bowls that are tuned to each of the chakras, and you can go to healing sessions where they use crystal bowls. Here's some more beautiful affirmations. There's so many for the throat chakra. From pools of silence, I sip the sparkling waters of thy peace. I'm free, I'm free. I expand my consciousness to embrace infinity. And you know, you look through these affirmations and you find one that you resonate with, and that's the one that you use. Read the little affirmation book and find out how to do it correctly. And you'll get a lot of power from it. I just put this on here for the throat because I practice naturopathy. Of course, I would add many other kinds of remedies. We use hot and cold hydrotherapy, hot and cold water, botanical medicines. Bugle weed is one of the botanical medicines. There are many different botanical medicines depending upon what aspect of an imbalance in the throat chakra that we're seeing. So we have botanicals to calm the thyroid gland, and we have botanicals to make the thyroid put out more thyroid hormone. This is a picture of Ayurvedic healing. I just wanted to mention that Ayurvedic medicine obviously has everything to do with all of the elements and the chakras. We have an Ayurvedic physician in our office. I don't practice Ayurvedic medicine in particular myself, but it's very powerful, and many people get great healing from that. This is my favorite location for healing this chakra. This is on our property over in Hawaii, and the blue of the ocean and the wind through the palm trees and the view of the blue starry sky is really perfect for this chakra. There's a picture of the chakra again. And that's the end of this chakra for this evening.